Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is 4 Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following podcast is Wrestling Death and is scheduled for 1 hour. Maybe more. It has no real time limits making their way into your ears. First, from a place called Barniston, he is the Pyramid.
Margaret, the Fiend coming out. You stick that big red light bulb on for the Fiend.
And his partner, Fader Tappender Stevenson.
Honky Tonk Man's going to take the bump for this. He's going to bump for it. I'm going to take the bump for you.
Welcome to Wrestling Daft. No, I am neither Rab or Grado. My name's John, I'm the producer of the show. You know that really annoying laugh that you hear in the background normally, and the person that normally shouts over the way stuff to the boys? That's me. Finally, I've got the microphone in front of me though. Now the boys are off for the next couple of weeks, and we don't want to speculate, but it is Royal Rumble this weekend, so you never know who might turn up. Who knows, this might happen. Can you imagine the pop if El Grado strolls out at the Rumble this weekend? Listen, pure speculation on my part, but he's not here, so you never know. Maybe it's that final push for chips, cheese and Donner meat getting signed to the WWE. Who knows? So while the boys are off, we don't want you to miss out on anything wrestling daft. So hopefully you haven't switched off by this point. You're still with us. Not went to another wrestling podcast because there's hardly any out there on the internet, honestly. We'll do your buddy or putovers on the list of Wrestling Daft this week. We're going to look at the best Royal Rumble matches. We'll also be catching up from the latest in the world of wrestling with Sportskeeda journalist Gary Cassidy. Plus, we're having a chat to Scotland's top referee, Sean McLaughlin, and find out what it's really like to wear those stripes. Now, I'm saying we, and that's for a reason. I'm joined by my friend and fellow Mark, a man bigger than Tessa Blanchard's list of people that hate her. He's 6'5", and his name is Alex. Alex, thank you for holding my hand while Rab and Grado are away.
No problem, John. I mean, I will thank you less for attributing me with Tessa Blanchard mention on this podcast, but let it slide.
Now, while Rab and Grado are like Hogan and Macho Man, we're pretty much more like Brutus the Barber, Beefcake and Hacksaw Jim Duggan, really, aren't we?
I think so, but as long as no one tries to attack us with a 2x4 or anything along those lines, I think we might be okay.
We might be all right. So this is more like the Sunday Night Heat as opposed to the Raw, but the boys will be back in a few weeks' time. But we want to catch up with your correspondence from last week in the boys' absence. So here's a few things you guys said on our social media. Remember, you can hit us up at Wrestling Daft on Twitter. It's Wrestling Daft Podcast on Instagram. And just type in Wrestling Daft on Facebook to keep up to date with the show. Scott says the highlight of 2020 so far was the fact that Rab called him a fucking idiot last week for buying 2K20. And he said he always preferred Ian Connell anyway in Burniston. He would also like to thank Mark Dallas for his recommendation of WCW Feel the Bang game, which is free to download on the internet. Now, Alex, you're a big gamer. Have you downloaded this yet?
I haven't had a go yet, no. I've been meaning to since last week, but let's be honest, the current generation of WWE games put us all off playing any type of wrestling game.
Bring back No Mercy.
Or SmackDown, here comes the pain.
Oh, yeah. Like Rab said last week, we definitely need to do a show on wrestling games at some point. We'll get that in. Richie Law says on Twitter, mind that time Maven put The Undertaker out of the 2002 Royal Rumble. I do remember that. No, neither did I, but I'm signed up to the network thanks to At Wrestling Daft. Hope your shares went up a penny, Rab Florence. It's your fault. Worth it. But that's the thing that the boys love about this podcast is people are getting back into wrestling through listening to this podcast. Now, I love the fact that wrestling is just, it just seems to have blown up again.
The whole YouTube generation as well, I think it's brought a lot of us back, and it's given us all so much supporting content that there's just endless amounts to consume nowadays.
No, absolutely. Well done, Richie, for getting involved. Now, we've not had one of these in a wee while, but Paul Mayer has been in touch. Now, we tend to do meeting wrestlers in strange places. And he says, I saw the Million Dollar Man at a school in Bells Hill. I thought he was going to be talking about wrestling. Now, I know exactly where this is going. I quickly found out it was him talking about how he had found God and how good God was. Try to say that fast.
Did he have Reverend Devon with him there just for the band?
Maybe Batista, Deacon Batista.
Oh, everyone needs a bodyguard. Yeah. Everyone needs a bodyguard.
Before I could have realised I was blocked in the middle of the aisle by a lot of Bible bashers, I had to sit through two hymns, an American gospel song, and a whole lot of people randomly standing up shouting Amen and Praise Jesus in Bell's Hill. What? Thankfully, there was a short interval. I took that opportunity to squeeze by them and go to the toilet before making a sharp exit, and I pissed myself laughing all the way home. I can't imagine in Bell's Hill there are people that would stand up and go, Amen, brother! Praise Jesus! That doesn't happen in Bell's Hill, does it?
Yeah, like all those the American YouTube ones that you watch, and it's people just lying around on the floor convulsing and things like that. I mean, people in Bell's Hill do that a lot, but not for that reason. I don't say.
It's certainly not through God, it's more through jakiness.
Also, are we allowed to say Bible bashes in 2020? I mean,
Christians, we'll just edit that bit. It was Christians.
It's a direct quote. I think you can get away with it. Just blame Paul Mayer, it'll be fine.
Exactly. Now, we're talking about wrestling Christmas presents that you may have had in the past, and I love this story from El Russo Mallow, who dropped us a message on Facebook. He says, I bought my wife the 24/7 belt for Christmas this year.
I think before we continue, we should find out whether or not his wife is still his wife after that present, let's be honest.
Could you imagine the reaction if you go, oh, darling, I've been to the jewelers. Got you something lovely. Ooh, what is it? It's this wrestling belt.
But he literally picked the worst possible belt you could have picked.
I quite like the 24/7 belt. I really do.
Green is not a colour for a championship belt. Even ask Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather and that horrific alligator world money championship as well.
Fair play. The story gets better though. I also bought my 2-year-old a referee outfit. So his wife gets the 24/7 belt, and the 2-year-old is getting a referee outfit, and it gets better. At my mum's on Christmas Day, my son wore the outfit and my wife opened her present, the belt. As soon as she went to open it, I pulled her legs out from under her and pinned her, screaming, "Count ref!" My mum thought we were really fighting and had no idea what was going on. The wife was pissing herself laughing till she realised her new designer dress was getting dragged all over the floor. I'm pleased to say I left the ref outfit at my mum's, so I am still undefeated for the belt. We are a geeky family for sure. That is the best story I have ever heard.
I really hope his wife likes wrestling, or else it's just going to make no sense.
But I do love the fact that there could be like a couple out there, obviously El Russo Mao, and maybe they just do this as a kind of couples thing, keep pinning each other for the 24/7 belt. I'm going to try and get my wife into this.
Yeah, exactly. That's your anniversary present right there, John. It's either going to be the best decision of your life or the worst decision of your life.
It's probably going to be the worst. We started our brand new feature last week. Moz do wrestling catchphrases, inspired by our friend Gaz Bannon. Lucy Langford says, I got my mum to say, who bad, we bad, in the car about a week ago when she accidentally ran a red best moment ever. Whose catchphrase was that? Who bad, we bad?
I'm trying to think, to be honest. That one's gone completely over the top of my head.
Bad. That's you're meant to be the mark here, Alex. Come on.
I know, I'm trying. Like, this is... the only person I can think of is Kip Sabian, but that's recent, and I don't think that's a big...
Right, okay. If you know who the catchphrase, who bad, we bad, was from, get in touch via the Twitter. Also, thanks to Martin, who got his ma to do a bit of Stone Cold Steve Austin. Listen to this.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
I love the fact she has committed to that part by putting on an American accent.
But you can still hear the Scottish undertones flowing through it quite obviously as well.
Let's hear that again.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
You can hear just the Scottish bit at the end.
Just at the end, she loses the accent.
Apparently, though, she's a bit of a show-off, as Martin's more, and she went a bit off-script.
This is Bret Hart from the USSR.
So Bret Hart is now a Russian athlete?
Since when did Bret Hart have the catchphrase, I'm Bret Hart and I'm from the USSR?
Yeah, I have to say, maybe don't give her a job in WWE. Oh, maybe do give her a job in WWE Creative. It might improve it. You know what I mean? She's obviously got more original ideas than they do.
Is this like the Superman Red? What was the Superman when he ended in Russia, landed in Russia and they wrote the graphic novel about Superman being in Russia? Is this like the Bret Hart who landed in the USSR by mistake?
No, you never know. He could have went and continued his career over there at the end of the day.
Love that. If you can get your mom to do a wrestling catchphrase, we would love to hear it.
Can we push it over the top and get them to do like the wrestler celebration as well? So she obviously ended that by slamming two tinnies together and downing them, obviously. So just add that in as well.
Yeah, yeah. And if you want to do that, please get in touch with us at Wrestling Daft on Twitter. Obviously on Facebook, it's Wrestling Daft. Or you can email them to wrestlingdaft@gmail.com. So while Rab and Grado are off, we want to keep you up to date with what's been going on in the world of wrestling. And to do that, we thought we'd invite a man onto the show who's interviewed just about everyone in the business. From Sports Kida, it's Gary Cassidy. Gary, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, and thanks for the intro. I'll take that any day of the week.
No worries, mate. No worries. You're just fresh off of, you were down at the big BT Sport WWE launch down in London last week, weren't you?
Aye, so I've actually just got back to Glasgow a couple of days ago. I was down in Blackpool for TakeOver Blackpool 2, and then straight back up to Glasgow on Monday after that, and then straight back to London on the Tuesday to go to the BT launch, which beforehand I got to interview a load of the superstars on a bus, which was probably the most surreal experience I've ever had. But man, I'm all for it. I'll take that.
Absolutely. So who are you speaking to?
So I had, first up was Paige, and then I had Sheamus, Charlotte Flair, Andrade, Kurt Angle and Nikki Cross.
Nice. Any good scoops?
During TakeOver, I actually kind of, I didn't put my foot in it, I put Triple H's foot in it with regards to a comment about Paige that he made. So I had to ask her about that.
That was you that started that?
Sadly, aye.
Someone tells me you're not getting that photograph with Triple H pointing at you casually for your Instagram, unfortunately, as well.
I already got it. It just didn't have the finger out, so I might.
<that in>, so. brilliant. So, wrestling news. What's been happening in the world of wrestling this week, Gary?
The biggest news. I mentioned there that I got myself into a wee bit of trouble with Triple H. The question I'd actually asked them was, where a lot of rumours going around surrounding returns at the Royal Rumble. The two big names mentioned have obviously been Paige and Edge. The Paige one I kind of clarified when I spoke to her. She kind of joked a wee bit about it. She said, I'd said maybe the Royal Rumble is a joke. You never know. She ended that by saying, never say never, essentially. Stuff we already know. She's not medically cleared. Edge, pretty much the same thing. He was on Pearl Jam's podcast, which I found a wee bit strange.
What's the connection there?
No idea, but I mean, wrestling seems to be getting everywhere nowadays. It's brilliant, I'll not complain, but he said a similar thing. You know, when wrestlers do this, it's kind of a lose-lose situation because they kind of say, I'll be back at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, yeah.
Where's the mystery in that? So obviously, they're in a lose-lose situation. They're saying, I'll not be back. If they come back, they've been lying to us all along. If they don't come back, it's like they didn't come back, and all the rumours have been that they're coming back. Obviously, this kind of came from something PW Insider had speculated about. Mike Johnson had essentially said he'd heard rumblings that Edge will be back. He's signed a new contract that's not a Legends deal, so it might involve an on-screen role. It'd been seen where WWE's medical headquarters are. But he's spoken out about it now, and obviously the Elias stuff as well. Even though it was the smallest bit of physicality, speared Elias at SummerSlam, and that kind of caused a few rumours to come out. But he spoke on that podcast about it and essentially denied it again, as you would expect him to. He said, it's kind of funny to me, all the rumours that I've been in Pittsburgh, I've been cleared to wrestle again and I've signed a new contract. And he said he's not been there, he's not signed a new contract. Like I say, lose-lose. John Morrison, just a couple of weeks ago, debunked PW Insider saying he'd signed a new contract, and we know what happened there.
Yeah.
Will it happen? Who knows? Again, when I spoke to Triple H, what he said was it's down to two things, personal choice and medical choice. And he said personal choice, obviously, they need to choose to come back, but the be-all and end-all as well, they get medically cleared, and he hopes they live happy and healthy lives. I actually just spoke to Sheamus as well, I was saying.
Loving these name drops.
Aye. So I'm trying to get in as many as I can. But that one, I've not even put the video out yet because it was essentially the kind of thing you'd expect him to say. He's just came back for a pretty nasty injury. It was out with I believe it was spinal stenosis. I'm not certain on that. But he then suffered a pretty bad concussion the night after WrestleMania, a couple of nights after WrestleMania. And he's been out up until just last week. So he essentially said the same thing. He's like, obviously with himself and with Daniel Bryan coming back, anything's possible. But if they're not cleared, they're not cleared. And he said that he'd love them back. He misses them a lot. Echoed the comments of Triple H and I'd guess many others. But essentially, it's down to the doctors and we'll need to wait and see at the Royal Rumble, I guess.
Fair play. And it looks like AEW have made a couple of signings or rumoured to be making a couple of signings.
Yeah, so the big rumoured one right now is Lance Archer. Again, if you don't watch Japanese wrestling, that name might not hold a lot of weight with you.
Alex is our Japanese wrestling expert. He's just back from Japan.
Well, Lance was very impressive during the G1, so much so he got himself a little bit of the US title action. He was on the Wrestle Kingdom card. I mean, he did get beaten by Jon Moxley in the end of the day, but it was good showings. He's been very impressive this year, so I'm not surprised about that.
I remember him back for the TNA days when it was Dallas in TNA up until they signed Diamond Dallas Page and he got forced to change his name.
He was part of the tag division in TNA, was he not? Was he?
I think that might have been the case. But I was going to say I remember him for that, and then the main thing I remember him for, it was actually in WWE for a wee while. So I'm surprised that they've maybe not got onto the. You never know. Maybe they have as well, and it's just the AEW are offering them something else. But it was in WWE. Is Lance Hoyt and then Vance Archer, which obviously you can see where he's got the new name from. He was in FCW. Obviously, you said there he got himself a good showing, quite a few showings. Most recently winning the IWGP US Championship after Jon Moxley had to vacate it, and then losing it again to Jon Moxley in a death match at Wrestle Kingdom. Really good signing. I believe he's 42 years old now, so
yeah,
obviously getting on a wee bit, but you never know. A lot of our signings, you look at Chris Jericho, obviously, as the main one. He's been probably the best thing about AEW, and he's up there in the ages. So he'd definitely be a good signing. Yeah. And the other one was Brian Cage, who, again, most people probably know him for Impact Wrestling, for Lucha Underground. Big brute of a guy, absolute monster in the ring. He's the kind of guy that it's always been one that you're like, why have WWE not signed him? Yeah. And then when AEW have kind of culminated the last year and actually having live shows, it's like, man, he'd probably be a great addition to anywhere. So if they get any of those guys, it's a big difference to what they've got just now, because people have been saying there's a lack of bigger talent in AEW aside from maybe like Luchasaurus, I guess.
Yeah, and you can see the two of them going in with Luke Harper as well as the big three guys on that roster.
Yeah. That's true. We're waiting for news on Luke Harper.
Brody Lee, I apologise. Not Luke Harper, yeah. Brody Lee.
Brody Lee. And looks like it's good news for wrestling fans because the WWE is going to be free to air soon in the UK.
Yeah, well, that's like I said, like you were saying about me being down at the BT launch. What I've got to say, firstly, they've put some amount of money and investment into WWE as a product. They get presented with the big $6,500 belt. I got to hold that and stuff. Got to be down there and watch everything they were doing. Obviously, they're putting a lot of money into it. They're showing Raw, SmackDown, NXT live every week, and NXT UK just after it broadcast or streams live on the network. But BT Sport have kind of been in cahoots with Channel 5 over the years, so this was one that a few people might have seen coming. They've been showing like the motorsport and the rugby and stuff like that, but it just got announced yesterday, obviously not too long after the BT Sport deal started, that Raw and SmackDown free air in the UK for the first time ever. A lot of people might remember back to Channel 4 showing Sunday Night Heat. I think that was back in 1999, so maybe 20 years ago. But yeah, it's now going to be free to air, as you would expect, a wee bit behind the live broadcast due to exclusivity rights and stuff like that. So it's starting on the 2nd of February, which will be next Sunday, I believe. And that is Raw showing on the Sunday at 10:30 in the morning. And then the following week, it's going to be SmackDown on the Saturday at the same time and Raw on the Sunday. Brilliant. I guess just so they can keep continuity. SmackDown's going to be 8 days later than the first broadcast, and Raw's going to be 5 days later on the first broadcast. But exciting news for UK fans in particular, because NXT UK is also going to be on the Paramount Network.
I heard this, yeah.
It looks like it's a midnight It's a wee bit unclear with that one. It says Wednesday at midnight, but I don't know if they're counting that as Tuesday at midnight, right. You're into Wednesday, yeah, or if you're going to be on an hour. Either way, it's absolutely amazing to see WWE on free air television anyway.
Yeah, I have to say I'm delighted with it because I had Sky Sports and I don't have BT Sports, so this is good news for me. It's not, Alex obviously uses the hooky internet services to get all his Raw and SmackDown.
Man, thank you for just putting that out there on the internet, John. Much appreciated.
No worries.
Well, speaking of free-to-air wrestling, has anyone seen the news that Impact have now been banned from Twitch as of today?
Have you seen why they've been banned?
I have indeed. Do you want to take this one? I felt it needs a mention since, you know, everyone loves Rob.
What happened?
So the news came up this morning that Impact have been banned from Twitch. Now, the story runs from this week's episode of Impact. So RVD went over Brian Cage at Hard to Kill, the same pay-per-view where Blanchard won the title of Callahan. And then he essentially did his own version of a live sex celebration on TNA Impact this week with both his girlfriend and his girlfriend's girlfriend. And I believe the segment ended with them all with their shirts off, covered in whipped cream. And then Rob, like, exposing, like, taking off a dressing gown to show more whipped cream downstairs or something. And then this got put up on Twitch, and I believe an entire account
was little
banned.
Was little Rob out to see?
I'm not sure if he was out to see. There was maybe some wake covering him, but
the best thing about that is I think everybody that's been on Wrestling Daft the past few weeks, burying the Lana, Lashley, Liv Morgan, Rusev angle, man, I'd love to see their reaction to that, because
this is next level. Is that it then, Gary?
Just a couple other things. Breaking news in the last couple of minutes. It's going to be maybe 24 hours ago by the time people listen to this. But PW Insider are reporting that there's going to be a name change to one of the titles in WWE. A pretty surprising one, but maybe not for anyone that might have seen this week's WWE Backstage. So on that, Becky Lynch was talking a lot about how the next step for equality in WWE is to get rid of the term women's. So no women's division, because you don't say men's division, pretty much. Yeah. And this change, PW Insider are reporting that WWE have issued an internal decree stating that the NXT Women's Championship from now on is just going to be called the NXT Championship. There's no word as to whether that's going to be something that's going to force a name change for the male NXT Championship, essentially, or if it's going to be something that will carry over into Raw or SmackDown yet. Obviously, it's maybe a bit of an easier one for them if they did decide to do it for Raw and SmackDown, because there's no Raw and SmackDown male championship. But that's a pretty interesting one if it's actually happening. We'll obviously see maybe over the weekend at Worlds Collide or next week on NXT if it happens. And also, just with regards to championships, another wee plug for somebody I interviewed was Andrade last week. The very first thing that Andrade said to me when I sat down, I asked him and Charlotte, as you do, how's life as an engaged couple? And they were saying it's brilliant, but they've not had any time to do anything. Andrade won the title. Then they went to Mexico and were engaged over New Year. And then now they're back and they're over here in the UK. Obviously, now they're back in America. But the first thing he pointed out to me was he said, no time for change. And he pointed to the title, the US Championship, the little plate on it. And it said Rey Mysterio. Obviously, I won the title for Rey Mysterio. That could mean anything. Could mean a lot of things. You never know. It could have been a last-minute decision to change the title when they did at the Madison Square Garden house show. So they might have just no really got round to making a plate up before the title changed hands. I know they usually do it anyway afterwards, just in case anything happens. And there was a lot of things. It was different countries and that, so maybe they just didn't get round to it. But an interesting note, back in November, it was reported by Belt Fan Dan, who don't need to say his name too quickly if you're Scottish, like I did right there. But he was reporting that right after the Intercontinental Championship got revamped, that the same thing had happened with the United States Championship, and they've just not yet got round to debuting it on TV. Well, what better time? Because as far as I know, after Andrade's title defence on Monday Night Raw, we're a few days later, still no nameplate. Obviously, that could change. They could just stick the nameplate on the title. But wee bit of speculation there.
I did see today they've booked a US title match for the main card of the Rumble. So they've booked Andrade versus Humberto Carrillo.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that could be the spot to do it at the beginning of the Rumble to open the show or something.
That's very true. That's very true. Well, Gary, thank you very much for coming on and sharing your wisdom.
No, thank you for having me. An absolute pleasure, man. Thank you.
And where can people get you if they want to follow your adventures meeting wrestlers across the world, Gary?
Sadly, I think the adventures might be done for a wee while now, but I'm gradually posting all the videos and everything for the past week. So if you want to catch them, I'm on Twitter and Instagram is the same thing. It's Conscious Gary. That's ConsciousGry. And if you want to read any of my articles, I link them on there as well. But I'm on Sportskeeda, just as Gary Cassidy. And I also do a wee bit of wrestling content for the BBC. My first video is up there on BBC The Social. And it's all about people saying wrestling's fake. So if you've been on either side of that conversation, go check that out and come on Twitter and tell me I've done a terrible job.
We've all been there, Gary. We've all been there. Don't worry. We feel your pain here on wrestling. Gary, thanks very much, mate. We'll hopefully speak up to you next week.
Thank you, man. Cheers.
So every week, Rab and Grado like to do your buddies and put overs, and this week is no different. We're going to separate the Manators from the Mankinds of this world as we talk about the good and bad of professional wrestling. Now, Alex, let's start off with you. What would you like to put over this week?
This week, I would like to put over, from NXT, the tag team of Pete Dunne and Matt Riddle, the Broserweights. Now, a couple of reasons for this. I think the big one for me right off the bat is they came out wearing synchronized gear.
All for that. Every tag team should have synchronized gear.
Exactly. Especially, well, considering how many actual tag teams don't do this. To have a thrown
really
together tag team, fantastic. Also, like, yeah, the hair matches and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And they even did a tag team finisher. But they were terrific. Went over the UK tag team last week. And Pete Dunne, he just seems to be the Dusty Rhodes tag team classic special throw-in singles man, because, you know, he had a really good run, yeah, with Roddy a couple of years ago, and this year you can see him and Matt potentially getting all the way to the finals. So
I did see a comment online that they should have called the tag team joint manipulation, which I thought was Broserweight's cool, but I thought joint manipulation would be an awesome name for a tag team.
I somehow don't see that getting through the WWE marketing department somehow.
Maybe not. And what are you burying?
This week, I'm going to bury Roman Reigns' addition to his entrance. Now, for those who didn't notice, a certain big dog decided to have a very small mat put out in a very convenient location for his Superman punch to the ground. I think this was actually pointed out on Twitter, to which he responded something along the lines of, at least I'm not smacking my head through a car door like Goldberg. So he's potentially got himself a bit of beef with Goldberg, and then used the excuse that he does this for 52 weeks.
Poor old big dog.
Days.
That floor must be really hard to punch. To be fair, if he's... Yep, try it there.
Oh, but the man, he wears gloves, Job.
He wears gloves. Like, he does wear bigger gloves, Roman. Don't get a little mat. You're meant to be the big dog. And then he's got a little...
A big dog with a little mat, do you know?
A little mat to help his little hand. Cool. I'm going to put over from AEW this week, DDP. Because...
He was in such good shape.
Man, he's like in his 60s. And he was like flying about that ring when I watched it last week. Like he was in his 20s.
Exactly. Why do you need to have any paid advertising for DDP yoga when you could just send Alice out on a Wednesday night?
Absolutely. DDP yoga, I am signing up for that bad boy. And I'd like to bury putting the tag titles on Seth Rollins and Buddy Murphy. Now, I get it, right? Okay, the good points about it are that Buddy Murphy gets a strap on him, right?
And he gets something to do.
And he gets something to do. But they've made this faction, you know, and it was set up for in the story. And Raw was actually quite good Monday night. We'll get to that through your buddy and put overs in a minute. But yeah, Buddy kind of, you know, joined it, and then they've thrown this team together. Should it not have been the AOP that got?
I think
that?
It really should have been AOP. But are they already planting like a breakup angle for Seth's new stable 3 weeks after it's been created?
Yeah.
I doubt it. I can see this staying together for a while.
I guess they're maybe saving the kind of AOP War Raiders match. Sorry, Viking experience match for WrestleMania or something like that. But I was just like,
Vince McMahon's going to put a tag match on the main card of WrestleMania.
I'm not a big fan of like throwing together tag teams winning the tag titles against tag teams. You know what I mean?
Unless
like,
it's Dolph Ziggler who does it every second week.
I know. Just anyway, so I'm burying that. Let's get to your buddies and put overs. Andy Clark put over Seth Rollins and Palace winning the tag titles. There you go. John Moxley, because John Moxley, Mysterio Andrade, and he wants to put over himself for getting accepted into uni from college. What a fucking guy, he says.
What a lad.
Andy. He totally went against what I was saying about Seth and Buddy, but we'll let you off with that one.
I think you're allowed to put yourself over as well.
Yeah,
you
put
know?
Yourself over. Why not? Buddy, AEW's wishy-washy storytelling. Pish. Some is good, rest is fresh turds. Good matches, shit stories.
I think he might be talking about Brandi Rhodes there.
We've talked, Rab's certainly spoken on this show about it before. I think backstage they do need, as far as I'm aware, it's the guys are writing most of the stuff. I really think they need someone backstage or someone in creative
to
write
over the
and look over
well.
The stories and stuff like that. Because it's the one big fail of AEW is the storytelling. Because they expect you to watch like everything, because you've got All Elite on YouTube and you've got Dark and you're expected to consume all this and know what's going on. And I have to say, the commentary team, like Jim Ross especially, God love him.
He's been making a lot of mistakes.
Yeah, they don't really talk you through it. They just... So yeah, I get that, buddy.
I find Excalibur's been trying really hard, but he's not getting enough. They're not giving him a platform to be able to get those stories over yet.
Yeah, true. Buddy in from Gary McD on Facebook, AEW's lack of storylines, again, going through the lack of storylines, and putting over Roddy Strong on NXT since joining the Undisputed Era. The guy's been a fantastic, dirty, snarky heel. He has been.
He needed it. As much as we all loved Roddy's ring work, I think... He was just a bit bland, unfortunately.
He goes on to say he was just white meat babyface character when he first joined in this, Roddy Strong. Now, he obviously dropped the title, which we've just spoiled from Alex just a minute ago. He dropped the title to Keith Lee. So it'll be interesting to see where that goes, if that turns into the rest of the Undisputed Era turning on Roddy for not having a title. Who knows?
Could be the end, the dissension of the Undisputed Era.
It could be.
But I do like last week, Keith Lee prophesied breaking the golden prophecy. Yeah.
All for Keith Lee. Put Keith Lee over as well. Koo on Twitter, I'm going to put over the first 2 hours of Raw this week. Thought it was excellent for most part. Burying, however, the last hour. Get so far to fuck. Matt Hardy deserves better. Yeah, Matt Hardy getting buried by Rowan now. Come on. He's on his way to AEW.
He's on his way. It's the classic new WWE thing. A month before you leave, you're going to get absolutely booked to shit. And so that when you turn up on the competition's programming, you look like shit. Unfortunately, it doesn't work, as a lot of these talents have been building themselves back up on YouTube. And I think right now Matt's been doing, Free the Delete on YouTube?
Yeah.
So I think he's been
in his own business.
Yeah, so he's been bringing eyes back on himself in his own way. And yeah, I think it's the right way to do it.
Sooner rather than later than AEW, I'm pretty sure. And he's obviously burying in the last hour. The fact that Rusev and Lashley main evented Raw on Monday night.
I just don't understand why Rusev has not won a single one of these matches. I've heard about this match 8 times, and every time
he takes a loss,
Lashley wins with a screwy finish.
Yeah.
If you're going to keep booking it, at least make it interesting.
Yeah. Kieran on Twitter, buddy, the lack of creative direction for the Viking Raiders, Ming in name, absolutely sensational in New Japan and were terrific in NXT, no connection there now. Yeah, I think that since they've come up to the main roster, they've kind of been lost. I mean, they had titles on them quite quickly, but...
I think the name changes has really hurt them as well.
Going from the War Raiders to the Viking Raiders.
It's not even that. It's changing their first names as well and making them most generic Scandinavian names that you can think of, really, isn't it?
Yeah, terrible. Matt, putting over Matt Hardy's Twitter game. Now, I don't know what this is. Incredibly frustrated, but being a creative genius has potentially used it to his advantage. I don't know what the Twitter game is.
I think
Matt Hardy.
He's been doing similar stuff to Free the Delete and just posting as the broken Matt Hardy on Twitter and kind of playing up his YouTube series, I believe.
Yeah. Cool. Caledonian King, bury the lack of prestige the Rumble has. Mind the days when people used to have a qualify to get into it. People just telling us they're going in now. Aye, all for that.
Yeah,
it used to be a prestige thing. It's like, I'm entering the Rumble. Who says you're entering the Rumble?
Yeah, exactly. Especially since there are no authority figures anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Jesus. And he must put over Ricochet getting a boot in the balls for chancing his arm with Brock. Yeah, I'm all for Ricochet getting used more because he's been kind of lost in the shuffle.
Also,
recently.
Book that match. Make that the Brock's match at Elimination Chamber. It puts Ricochet over and it also gives Brock something to do.
That's true. Ricochet maybe eliminating Brock in the Rumble this week?
Potentially. It depends on, as you have been constantly predicting, the return of Kane Velasquez.
Well, that's true. We'll wait and see. And finally, Kev's wanting to bury the WWE Tag Division. Wait, they beat you to it. Surely AOP, being an established tag team, should have won the titles. Absolutely, Kev. Well done. You may be in for listener of the week. And put over Keith Lee. Big lad is brilliant. Should have a wee fat lad stable with Owens and Joe. The Fat Lads is a brilliant stable name.
Yeah, do it. I'm all for that. The wrestlers who can't be arsed go to the gym.
The merch would fly out the door.
They could be the American answer to chips, cheese and Donner meat.
They could be. They could be. All for the fat lads. If you want to buddy or put over anything next week, remember to hit us up on Twitter at Wrestling Daft or on Facebook at Wrestling Daft. Get your hats, your scarves, your t-shirts. Well, it's actually just t-shirts that we have to offer at our Wrestling Daft merch store online. You can get some fantastic designs from catchphrases from the show, such as Margaret, there's the fiend, chips, cheese and Donner meat. And what else have we got in there? I've got crud up there. So you can get all these fantastic designs along with the Wrestling Daft logo at shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft. That's shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft. You'll get the links on the Twitter and the Facebook as well. But some really, really good merch. It's actually really, really good quality as well. And if you do buy a t-shirt, please send us a pic so we can put you into our Hall of Fame. And we obviously want to do more t-shirts. So this week, we're going to ask you to vote on a new design, Alex. So here we go. What you're voting for out of these ones. We have, going up for the vote, I'm a Mark. Remember when Grado told that story about meeting Ric Flair in the toilet and saying, I'm a Mark?
On the condition that you get Grado to wear that every week when he's recording the podcast.
That will definitely happen. Option two, quintessential. Because Rab says it every single episode. Quintessential.
He's a well-read man, I'd expect.
He is, he is. So we're going to have a quintessential t-shirt. Or C, the beak. Now, that was based on a comment from one of our listeners, Stu, from a few episodes ago, referring to Triple H as the beak.
Does that mean that's going to be some kind of gogglygooker inspired t-shirt? Because if so, I think that one might get my vote.
Right, okay, so we're voting for the beak. Anyway, you can vote on what you want to see on the next t-shirt. Head to the Wrestling Daft Twitter. We'll have that up over the weekend. And if you want to buy your t-shirts, you know where to go. The Wrestling Daft merch stand. You can be the cool kid at the Royal Rumble when you're sitting watching it in the pub and people go, hey man, where did you get that t-shirt? And you go, I headed to shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft.
Really rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? Really rolls off the tongue.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You just made the list!
So Rab and Grado aren't here, but we're continuing with the list of Wrestling Daft. And this week on the run-up to the Rumble, we want to find out your favourite Rumble. It's everyone's fans' favourite pay-per-view, isn't it, the Rumble? We love it. There's some brilliant moments in it. You know, from everything from Shawn Michaels winning from number one. Remember, that was a belter. AJ Styles debuting. Kofi Kingston's ways of staying in the match, and then you get always the injury returns and surprises as well. So it's every fan's, I think, favourite.
I think it's everyone's favourite.
It's the quintessential pay-per-view.
It truly is. It truly is. I think without the Rumble, January would be a much bleaker month, let's be honest.
So we're going to list our favourite Royal Rumbles, and I thought, Alex, you could do it this week. So what are your favourite Royal Rumbles? What goes in at number three?
Okay, so my third favourite Rumble is 2010.
These are just the first of 29 other men that will be thrown over the top rope, or if they have the courage that the WWE Universe lacks, they can be saved. And unfortunately, not everybody can win the Royal Rumble. Excuse me.
Please.
It's clobbering time.
Who's the next sacrifice for Ben Grimm?
So the match starts early off with a certain CM Punk coming in at around number three, eliminating everyone, and during his straight edge savior years, and just sitting in the middle of the ring and cutting promo after promo after promo after promo.
Was that when he was set up the Nexus? Was that when...
This was before the Nexus, right, so this was still Straight Edge Society era.
Right, that was so, Straight Edge Society, right, okay.
So he had the full Jesus beard hair look at the time. It was truly terrific. Shortly after that, we had the second ever woman to enter a Royal Rumble. Beth Phoenix appeared and eliminated everyone's favourite Indian wrestler, Bar Jinder Mahal.
That's right.
The great Kali.
That's right. Yeah, yeah, that was the kiss over the rope thing. Yeah,
it was,
yeah,
indeed. Was it also featured the beginning of the build to Michaels versus Undertaker 2 at WrestleMania. So this was the pay-per-view before the infamous moment when HBK comes out in the middle of the Elimination Chamber match and costs the Undertaker the title.
That's right, yeah.
So a lot of good promo work from Michaels pre this event. And I think the big one as well at the end was the return of Edge to come back in at number 30 and to win the Rumble. So my second favourite Rumble is 1992. So I think this is one of the infamous Rumbles, as being not only one of the few matches that the infamous Ric Flair competed in WWE before the demise of WCW, but also one of the few events while the then WWF title was on the line. So I think the star of the match has got to be Ric himself, as he comes out at number 3 and pretty much Iron Mans the entire thing, lasting a whole 59 minutes and 26 seconds. And another big highlight of the match comes in at when Big Psycho Sid, or Sid Justice at the time, comes in and managed to eliminate about 6 people in about 5 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
Which for back in the day was quite a performance. I think up until, ironically, the next Rumble I'm about to talk about was definitely the record at the time for the most eliminations in a single Rumble.
But I think also 1992 Royal Rumble gave us the gift that keeps on giving with the Ric Flair. Whoa!
Oh, it truly did. It truly did. And his promo work afterwards, holding the WWF belt that no one ever imagined Ric Flair of all people holding, was truly terrific as well.
Yeah. Bobby Heenan was on commentary, I think, for the 1992 Rumble as well.
Would it have been Heenan Monsoon back
at
that
think
point?
It was. But I mean, that generally is marked, but it's one of the best. What's going to be at number one, though?
So number one comes in with 2001.
Kane has risen from the dead.
Look out, Steve!
And there it goes. And the Blackman holds on.
He's going to try to pull it off, but not for long. Well, he held on for a second.
My God, Kane is cleaning house, Kane.
Well, good. That has to stand a little cleaner. Get a broom or a mop.
Kane eliminates house. No.
So this Rumble is known as a bit of a history maker, as this was Stone Cold Steve Austin's third Royal Rumble win. Up right now, obviously, holding the record for the most ever Rumble wins until WWE book Roman Reigns to come and beat that record. It also features another record-breaking performance from the Big Red Machine Kane, coming in and eliminating 11 men in total. There was also everyone's fantasy booking of the Brothers of Destruction teaming up and eliminating 9 competitors in roughly about a minute. And I think some of the big returns for that day included The Big Show, who at the time was an active competitor, The Honky Tonk Man, and
yes,
Haku. I'd mentioned...
I'm going to take a bump for you.
I'm glad it was you that tried to do the impression of Grado. And even Drew Carey, but I don't think anyone in the UK knows who Drew Carey is.
No, I remember that. That set up a kind of feud with Kane, didn't it?
I think so.
He was like running away from Kane. I remember. Cool. Royal Rumble 2000, not much argument. I would personally have went 92 above that, but actually...
I think for me, because I'm breaking kayfabe, I'm a bit too young to have seen 92 at the time.
Yeah.
2001 was very, very much my generation.
Yeah.
And of course, does that not set up Rock Austin at WrestleMania 17 as well?
Of course it is.
Because at the time, Angle's the champion and...
Yeah.
Then Rock beats him at No Way Out.
Here's what you guys had to say on your favourite Royal Rumbles online. Firesoul 86 says Royal Rumble 2000 because Kai and Tai kept running in and out and getting layered. They weren't actually entered into the Rumble. They just kept running. Kai and Tai, Funaki and stuff, they kept running in and out. That was brilliant. I remember that.
I love that. I think we all love that old Kai and Tai.
Yeah. Anybody who doesn't say 1992 is the best Rumble hasn't seen it or is a liar, says Stevie B.
I'm officially a liar. I apologise, Stevie.
Yeah, well, it was number two, to be fair. I can still remember getting it taped by a mate from school. I can still remember the name of the bastard who strolled into school and spoiled the winner. Everybody on Monday morning when they go into work is going to be trying to avoid. Now, it used to be like you'd walk into school and someone would give you the winner. Now you've got to avoid social media altogether.
Oh, it's impossible. You literally need to turn your phone off and stick to like you know, the Financial Times for the day.
I'm watching it Monday night, so I do not want it spoiled by someone in the office on Monday. And everyone's going to be the exact same as me, I'm pretty sure. Jim McKinley says 2005, when Cena and Batista accidentally eliminated each other, then Vince tearing both quads. That was the infamous moment. Vince stormed to the ring and then Rick couldn't stand up in the ring.
Yeah, he just falls over when he gets into the ring.
Oh man, that was a belter. Yeah, I'm with you on that one. 2017 was good. Neville starts his class heel run as King of the Cruiserweights, so he did, yeah. Cena and Styles have a belter and the Rumble was well and predictable at the time. The amount of star power
Cena's,
the match
that Cena-Styles match was absolutely terrific as well.
It was really, really good. That was my kind of match of the year, 2017, wasn't it?
Oh, I think so. I think it was one of the few that's got five off Big Uncle Dave, is it?
Bloody
not, as well?
Hell, is it? Jesus. Cena gets a 5-star match.
Actually, no, I think that one was maybe, I think it was like 4.5, 4.75. I think it's only 5-star is with Punk at Money in the Bank.
Well, really? 2006, because it was the first pay-per-view I watched. That's from John Bankier. Loved the fact that Mysterio was doing it for his pal. That was Eddie. He obviously doing it for Eddie in that time. And he was a wee underdog in the final four when Mysterio and RVD teamed up. I went daft for it.
Love it. Good Rumble.
2008, when Cena returned. Yeah, that
was a huge pop.
Yeah, when he's just kind of standing with the arms. Yeah, that because it was the arena had that kind of, it was like the opening door thing, wasn't it?
Yeah,
and he was just kind of standing there. That was cool, yeah. So 2008.
I hope they bring something like that back. Now that they seem to have committed to doing a bit more set design, I really hope they bring back something like that for the Rumble.
That would be cool. Hopefully we'll see that on Sunday. Love Rumble 2016, when Reigns defended his title in the Rumble match as Scott McKenzie. I like that.
I think we all when you know Triple H is coming out of 30 and you still pop, like, you know it's been a good Rumble.
Obviously that was the kind of height of everybody hating Reigns. So when Triple H eliminated as as the heel,
it was a massive pop. It was a beautiful piece of booking by Mr. Paul Levesque to put himself in that situation.
Exactly, put the title back on himself. Mm. 1993 Royal Rumble says Gavin McClement's the only reason I think that is because our next door neighbour recorded it on VHS when I was about 5 and I watched every single night until WrestleMania 9. Ric Flair was number one entry. Macho Man stupidly tried to pin Yokozuna and deservedly tossed from the position over the ropes by Yokozuna to win. That was ridiculous. It was such a ridiculous spot. Macho Man goes to pin Yokozuna and he just have you seen that?
I've seen it, yeah.
It's absolutely ridiculous, but no, it was a good Rumble. Andy PRFC, I wonder what team he supports. 1998 was the first event I seen and set my wrestling fandom off. Austin on the Rampage and the Three Faces of Foley in one match.
Yeah, I think that was a particularly good highlight.
That was good. That was a really good spot. What do you think is going to happen this week in the Rumble?
I'm not sure. I think I'm not sure. I think we have an unpredictable Rumble to a certain degree. I did see the bookies at about Christmas time even had The Rock down in there at some point.
No way.
So that's definitely not happening. But I think we had a discussion about this beforehand, and I think we're kind of both in agreement that this is potentially Drew McIntyre's year.
I think Drew's going to go over. And obviously Rob and Grady were talking about it last week as well. And Dallas was in as well and saying that they all think that this could be I think when you look at WrestleMania, now I think a given is going to be The Fiend versus Roman Reigns. I think that, and they can get to that match without Reigns winning the Rumble.
Easily, we all know that Team Corbin is going to come and eliminate Roman in some way.
I think we're giving it that Daniel Bryan's not going to win the title on Sunday.
Yeah, they could win it, then drop it again in the chamber. They could do some dodgy booking, but I doubt it.
They could do that. So who takes on Lesnar, right?
Drew has to take on.
If Cain Velasquez is apparently meant to be in the Rumble, but apparently he's injured. It's really mysterious there.
I think as well they'll save the Kane Brock stuff for the Saudi shows.
Yeah.
Because that seems to be where they like to bring their big stars in because they can afford it for the Saudi shows.
So maybe they save that for because it's a Saudi show before WrestleMania happens. So who else is, who else is going to come up against Brock Lesnar? Who else is a threat in the WWE to Brock Lesnar? Drew McIntyre is the only person that I can see that would be big enough and tough enough to go against Brock.
I think the other one we all fantasy book is Matt Riddle, but Matt's not leaving NXT anytime soon.
No, exactly. And, Drew's turning face for a good reason. He's going over with the crowd. I honestly can't look beyond Drew McIntyre for the Rumble.
From a business perspective, with the BT deal, the amount of time and money they've put into it over here and stuff as well, what better way to attract fans than having a British champion for the first time in a long time. Anyway.
I don't think Vince McMahon thinks that much. I don't know if
he's a savvy businessman, well, mate. I don't think he thinks that much about booking, but I think he thinks that much about business.
Fair play, fair play. So, listen, enjoy watching the Royal Rumble, wherever you are, and try and avoid the spoilers on Monday.
Spoiler, Roman wins.
Okay, so Rab and Grado aren't here. They'll be back soon, but we still have your chance to win beer in our Beer 52 match of the week. Last week, Dallas was in. Mark Dallas from ICW fame. He picked out Goldberg versus Raven for the US title on Nitro back in April of 1998. And he wanted to know who Raven had taken the title from the night before on the pay-per-view. And the answer was, Alex, do you know the answer to that one? No, you don't. Looking at me, by the way, it was DDP.
I'll admit, I forgot to prepare myself for that this week.
Yeah, yeah, most of the listeners probably just Googled it anyway. Congratulations to Stuart Brown, nailed that one and won the Crate of Beer. Right now, we've got more chances for you to win beer as we pick out a classic wrestling match. And Alex, you've done that and you have a question on it.
So the match that I've picked out, up and available on YouTube, is from the Super J Cup over in New Japan and from last year.
Oh, Japanese wrestler. Rab is...
I'm going after Rab's heart here.
He's going to be sitting there very proud that you picked a Japanese match.
I think he would be slightly annoyed that it's, you know, mainstream Japanese, and it's also quite recent. So the match is everyone's favourite British export in Japan, a Mr. Will Ospreay, up against someone he described as one of his personal heroes, Amazing Red. So that's free up on YouTube. And what I'd like to know is which of Will's many, many finishing moves did he put away Amazing Red?
Cool. Well, we'll get that up on the Facebook and the Twitter. And if you answer the question, you can win a case of beer. Winners must be over 18 and stay in the UK, of course, because you can't drink if you're under 18.
You can't, as long as you date around the back of the local community centre.
And as long as it's Mad Dog. But you can get free beer from Beer 52, which is a lot nicer than Mad Dog. You can get that at beer52.com/wrestling. We've got a special code there for you. So normally when you sign up for these deals, you get 8 beers. But as you're a wrestling daft listener, we're going to give you 10 beers. And all you need to do is pay for the postage and packaging, which is $4.95. So for $4.95, you can get a wee cargo for the weekend, 10 free beers from Wrestling Daft. There you go. You can sit and enjoy the Rumble with your Beer 52 and crack on with that. It's a monthly subscription service for beer that you can sign up to. So go to beer52.com/wrestling to get your first case of 10 beers for nada. So Rab and Grado aren't here. We've decided to mark out a little bit. Myself and Alex. And if you've been to a wrestling event in Scotland particularly, you've seen this man. But it's an ICW ring, a PBW ring, Source, Discovery, PWI, the list goes on. If you see a wrestling referee, it's probably him. Please welcome to Wrestling Daft, Mr. Sean McLaughlin.
I've never got an introduction like that, man.
There you go, man. Give it the big one. Now, we've had you on this week because I personally am completely intrigued about the referees because, you know, I've never done any wrestling training. I just watch it and I love it. But I'm really intrigued to the referee's role, not just in the ring, backstage and all that sort of stuff. So I'd love to hear what you've got to say. First of all, how the hell do you become a wrestling referee?
You just need to be shit at wrestling, basically, man.
You just go to training the first day and they're like, you can be the ref, that'll be fine.
Well, like, personally, from my experience, I started going to training to learn, like, how to bump and how to, like...
Yeah.
Work matches and stuff like that to then do like a manager role. Like, I wanted to be a manager, but then just one day they were doing training matches and I just ended up refereeing a match, and then just from there on it just kind of took off. Within about 2 weeks I was reffing on my first show and stuff like that, and I just haven't looked back since, really, to be honest. It's been great. Being a great move for me.
Yeah, yeah. Why do you think the management side didn't work for you then? Was it just that it was like, yeah, you're now a referee? Did you not then pursue the?
No, I didn't. I just didn't pursue. After I started reffing, I just didn't pursue becoming a manager. That I just realised that like reffing was for me, and I just didn't know it at the time. And like every show needs a referee. Like not every show needs a manager.
Yeah.
So from that standpoint. I was like, right, well, I could be on as many shows as I want to be on if I just put in the work.
And you can do multiple matches a night, so you can be part of multiple matches as well.
I mean, that it's good, but then it's also got its downfall, because by half nine, you're knackered.
How can you be knackered as a referee? Honestly,
you'd be surprised.
Is that arm just getting really sore when you're
doing that train when you go home at night and just slap the arm down on the ground consistently just to get it up to strength, you know?
No, it's honestly knackering, man. So there's like Stevie Xavier and Liam Thompson, they love doing cradle pins back and forth, and you get you're going from one corner of the ring to the other, just constantly hitting this mat, and it really tires you out. Like,
I always find calling it a mat probably undersells the fact that it's like planks of wood. Isn't it?
Yeah, well, the canvas. And honestly, it can be quite tiring. It depends who you're in with. If you're in with two lazy guys that just don't want to do anything.
Grado.
No. Your words, John, not mine. if you're in with people like that, it's a piece of piss, but other than that, it can be quite exhausting, man. That's why I think it's important as a referee that you still train and you still try and keep yourself in the best shape you possibly can, because there is a cardio aspect to it.
So where did you train then?
I trained at the PBW Academy. That's run by Kid Fight, Ross Watson. That's produced some trainees, some great stars like Noam Dar, Kenny Williams, Kaylee Rays, Stevie Xavier. Just the list is endless, really. Krieger, Luke King Sharp, people like that. That's great. Some great talent coming through still for the school. Angel Hayes, Danny Edwards, Daz Black, who I know you were talking about a few weeks ago.
Yeah, Daz.
He's fantastic,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, he was brilliant.
He is
absolutely
great.
Brilliant.
I love him, man. He's class.
So why didn't you really pursue the wrestling? Because obviously you got into the wrestling training to become a wrestler. Why didn't you pursue that for, or did you just kind of recognise it? You looked around and you saw the likes of Noam Dar or whatever, thing. I'm no near that, or was it just a personal decision?
I was never going to train to be a wrestler. I was just training, so I had the basics down of bumping, running the ropes, planning stuff, just so I knew how to plan a match and stuff like that. But I wanted to do the management side of things, and then I never pursued that.
So you didn't have the ambition to kind of do the wrestling, you just went for the training?
No, because I know in myself that I know what I'm capable of and what I'm not capable of. I don't think I could have been working at ICW, for example, as a wrestler. I don't think I could have been working at Discovery as a wrestler. I certainly couldn't have got bookings down in England as a wrestler. But I did do a match. I'd done one match a few months ago.
Was this a Discovery Wrestling?
It was the same day as ICW's Fear and Loathing show. I wrestled a match. I tagged with Kid Fight in a match, and then I went and done ICW Fear and Loathing the same day.
You must have been wrecked after that, surely.
I was okay at the time. The next morning, I was absolutely scunnered. I was knackered, man.
Did you take any bumps?
Yeah. Well, I learned to take them, so I might as well have just thrown them all in. I got beat in the end, but I got pinned, done the job.
Good.
But I'm sure you tell Kid Fight that you carried him through that match, no doubt.
Oh, definitely. I planned the whole thing. He was smoking his e-fag like that. When am I coming in, boy? When am I coming in? No, it was good, but we were working, who were we wrestling? Kings of Catch, which are Aspen Faith and Lewis Govan, Lou King Sharp and Krieger, and the Anti-Fun Police from down south. Don't know if you know them. They're great.
Yeah,
is that kind of right to censor kind of gimmick?
It's similar to that. No Fun Done, and I can't say Santos's full name because it's a mouthful. But I just call him Santos Junior. But they're fantastic, man. They're great.
They are getting those proper right to censors boos. I've seen them at ICW a couple of times, and the crowd absolutely despise them. It's great.
It's just when you had that absolute bitch of a teacher, man, and they just wouldn't let you have any fun. That's no fun done in Santos, man.
So when you're reffing a match, what gets? Are you with the guys when they're plotting, when they're going through the match?
I mean, I don't need to be.
But they come to you and they say, right, Sean, we want you to do this, we want you to do that.
So they'll come and you won't
have any involvement in that planning then?
For every ref it might be different. I don't know how. I know just from working with Thomas Cairns at ICW, we both work similar, and the fact that we'll go up and ask them, do you need us to know anything?
You're right.
And they'll tell us what they want us to know. There is refs that won't, they'll just going. I mean, it might be a confidence thing. It might just be like they just don't want to make mistakes, but they'll just go and do what they want. Like, they'll just go with the flow, and then maybe find out during the match even.
Really?
Yeah. So a lot of the times they go in without knowing the result and stuff like that. I don't always know the card.
If you're looking at a run order, you're sitting through a run through. You know who's going over and what. But things can change. Things can change mid match. That's happened to me before. And so you need to communicate with them. Let them know things are changing. And
have you got an earpiece in for most of the shows you do?
I've got an earpiece in for ICW.
Yeah. Who's in your earpiece?
It differs. Usually it's Rudo.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it is now since he started working more backstage role. Sometimes it's Dallas. Mm-hmm. So I've got an earpiece in for ICW. I think that's the only one, actually. TNT down south in Liverpool.
Right.
I use an earpiece there with referee James Greenwood. We just talk to each other on that earpiece.
Right.
But nothing really changes there. Like when mid-match there, like everybody knows what they're doing there.
Yeah, so what sort of things are Dallas or Rudo saying into your earpiece? I mean,
sweet nothings. Sweet nothings. This one's sweet nothings in my ear. No, they're not. They just tell me how long's left in a match.
Like, so it's more for time. It's more for time rather than instructions.
If someone looks like they've took a sore one, they'll ask
give
me
it the old X.
I've had to do that. I've had to do that about four times.
Really?
Yeah. So like that's another thing. By the time I was 5 years in, I'm 6 or 7 years in now. But by the time I was 5 years in, I'd called off a match four times. Thomas, who's been reffing 10 years, like Thomas is so professional, man. He's class. I mean, I know. He's class. I mean, he hadn't called off a match ever.
Really?
He'd just been so lucky that nobody had ever took a sore one, and like he's had to stop a match or anything. But I had to call off so many, and the earpiece comes in handy for that.
Because
I think two or three of them, I didn't have an earpiece in because we just hadn't got to that stage where we were using them yet. And so tons of people are coming out to find out what's going on. But with the earpiece, people just like. For example, Dallas will say to me, is this legit? Is this? And I'll just look up at the hard cam and I'll throw up the X, or I'll throw up a fist so he knows that I'm telling
this is
legit.
Yeah.
So that's where the earpiece comes in handy. But unless there's a change of a match or a legit injury, it's just a case of times.
So, I mean, is that effectively, I mean, I don't want to downgrade referee, but the referee is there, obviously, to make the count, call the match. But really, one of your main things as well is just for the timings and aspect going, right, guys, 5 minutes, you know, wrap
pretty
it
much,
up, go,
yeah.
go home.
Pretty
yeah.
much. Like, there's times, like, just from my experience, there's times where I've had to maybe say to somebody when they've got someone like a rest or a chin lock or something,
yeah.
I'll say, turn round, face this way. So more of the crowd see it, so the camera sees it.
Oh, right.
That's just from my experience
and
maybe working with someone that's a little less experienced than myself.
Yeah.
So I can just give them a pointer that way. But, I mean, majority of the time, it's just telling them the times. And
do you find yourself communicating with the wrestlers and stuff a lot? Like, or is it just once or twice a match?
No, a lot. Like, but not always, like, I don't know if I should be saying this, not always, like, for the good of the show.
just ribbing them. Yeah.
Cracking jokes to each other. That was fucking shite, mate. Do that again.
Do you all have to learn, like, a degree of ventriloquism so that you can kind of communicate without...
Because you watch... obviously the wrestling and you're like they call it, but it's really hard to tell when they're actually talking to each other.
Unless you're John Cena.
Unless you're John Cena, yeah.
It's all about the facial expression, man. See if you look like you're telling them something, like maybe giving them any trouble, but you could be saying anything. You could be saying anything, man. Like
God, come on.
You started.
I mean, it's not a bad story, but they're probably going to kill me. John Mark Coffey always hit out with office quotes, like during the match. Like they're always hitting out with office quotes because we all watch The Office, the UK one, not that crappy American one. And we like all the time, Jackie Polo as well, man. He'll definitely kill me for saying that.
I wish I'd known that before watching TakeOver Blackpool 2. I don't think
I don't know if it happened.
Do you reckon he's just translating them into German to Walter?
No, I don't know if it would have happened there because it was new me, but from my experience, it's always office quotes.
Brilliant. So is that what other strange things have you heard in the ring then from wrestlers when they've been kind of communicating and calling the match? Have you heard anything like really fucking weird?
We were doing a show in Hamilton, I think it was. it was a circus. Like, it was way out in Edinburgh. It was at a circus.
Right.
And they'd booked for like the last hour of the circus to be wrestling. So a couple of us, there was about 5-6 of us go out to do this show, set the ring up.
So you part the ring crew as well? When
I was at this point, yeah. Sometimes I'll still do it.
Yeah.
there was this smell of shite, right, just floating about the ring.
Grado wasn't involved in this match, was he? No,
right. Grado had managed to pull a belter and not get on this show. there was a smell of crap in the ring, man. And it was Mark Coffey and Kenny Williams wrestling each other, who always have cracking matches, man. I think this was one of their not-so-good matches because of this. Really bad smell, man. And it goes to the double down. And Mark turns to Kenny and he just starts shouting abuse at him while they're both down. I just buckle and they're going back and forth. You're stinking, you're smelling, blah, 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 blah. We get backstage and I just goes like that. Sorry, guys, that was me that farted. But they thought it was each other, and I just couldn't stop laughing at them two just arguing each other about who farted and who didn't. But in fact, it was me.
Brilliant, brilliant. So, have you ever fucked up a match? Have you ever, you know, counted and realised that's not been the finish of the match, and you've went one, done like a fast count or something?
Oh, yeah. I've not done a fast count, but...
No, but accidentally... messed up the finish of a match.
Yeah, I think anyone that says that they've not are lying. Like, to be honest, everybody's going to make mistakes.
Yeah,
in any profession, especially wrestling. There's been times where people haven't kicked out in time and I've counted the three, and then they'll come backstage and say, oh, but I kicked out. I said, aye, you kicked out, but after the fucking three. It's not my fault, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Again, it's just mistakes. People make them, and I've done it as well where I've not counted the three because I'm expecting a kick out.
you went at that last hand really slowly.
Yeah, and like honestly, you've never felt so low in all your life, man. See, when you know that you're the reason that everybody's shouting, you fucked up. It's honestly the worst, man.
And the British wrestling crowds are very fucking vocal, aren't they?
They're unforgiving, man.
ICW crowds, Jesus.
Also, some of them are unwashed, but that's another story.
So the smell wasn't coming from you that day, it was coming from the crowd.
No, but mistakes happen, don't they? It's bad, see, when it's people that you make a mistake and it affects the people that, like, bat for you in places and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You just feel like you've let them down, man. But, like I said, we're all human.
Yeah,
we all make mistakes, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It's just never happened on a big stage.
Like, good.
Which, thankfully, I'm happy about, but we'll wait and see. There's still time.
So, like, do you, like the wrestlers out there, you know, everybody obviously goes, oh, I want to be in WWE, I want to be in AEW. Mm. Is there a progression, like, for a referee? Would, like, say, for example, NXT UK, like, maybe approach you going, listen, we like what you do in the ring as a ref. How do you make that move from... say independence into an AEW or an NXT or Impact or what?
Well, me and Thomas have both done NXT UK.
Really? Yeah.
We done it last year. Was it last year? Yeah, we done it last year. Thomas done the tapings at Cambridge.
Taking the Vinny money. Was it good? Well, you don't have to tell the figures. Is it good money for refing the WWE show?
I mean, yeah, I was okay on it. I mean,
but
so much so you were asking Dallas for a raise, no doubt.
But like, money aside, it was the best experience of my life.
Yeah,
it was fantastic.
What match were you on?
I can't remember what Thomas done at Cambridge, but I wasn't there. But then I done the next set of tapings, and I was down in Birmingham, and I done Killer Kelly versus Charlie Morgan, and then what else did I do? I done a tag match as well the next day, and I can't remember who was in it, but it wasn't very good.
Get a full time gig, it's the matches.
But then I ended up doing the first UK takeover in Blackpool.
Wow.
I done Dave Mastiff versus Eddie Dennis in that.
Oh, decent.
And then I done a few shows for NXT UK. It was great, best experience of my life.
Yeah.
And it unfortunately just never came to anything for me, but
Is there still a chance? There must still be a chance there for you.
I'd like to think so, but I don't know. I mean, their ref team now is fantastic. They've got like the likes of Joel Allen, Chris Sharp, Chris Robertson, Tom Scarborough, and they've got a girl called Artemis who I don't actually know, but I've been told good things about. Yeah. But they're a fantastic team, man. They work great as a unit, like to do the ring and stuff like that, because like, that's expected of you at WWE.
Is it really? Yeah,
yeah, the refs are the ring crew.
Oh, really?
But, I mean, yeah, so...
So are they...
Well, I was there, they were.
I can't imagine Earl Hebner like set up a ring.
Within reason, you know what I mean? Within reason.
So are they full time with the WWE then, these guys?
I really don't know. I know when I was there, I wasn't full. I was still working my normal job, but I don't know. I wouldn't want to talk for them.
No.
Are you finding now that referees are starting to kind of have more personality as a referee and being more part of the match? The example I'd use is obviously Aubrey Edwards and her facial expressions during AEW.
I mean, it does help. It does help. But it's not always a good thing. It's not, because it does detract from the match. Like when I was training, that was drilled into me. It was certainly drilled into Thomas when he was training and when he was coming up. Yeah, I mean, facial expression's good. It does sell a lot. But then you need to limit it.
Yeah,
know what I mean? Like, I would hate to be reffing in a match and people just watching me and not watching these two guys that are literally risking their lives at every bump and every move they do. Like, that would be shit for them. I'd feel awful, but... It's not my fault that I'm good at what I do. I'm kidding on. But just when you're saying that there, like the track referees like having a bit more personality in that. The end of last year there, I met a wee boy, like, and his mum, who had come to every show, Jamie's name is, and his mum just said, oh, he just loves you and Thomas and Simon Cassidy, the announcer.
Yeah.
Like, he just loves you three. Like, he loves you and he loves Thomas. Like, I think he wants to be a ref. And I'm like, right, well, let me meet this boy then. So I meet him, and he's like the nicest boy you've ever met in your life. Like, he's so polite, he's just well mannered, he's been raised well. And he's wanted to be a referee and try to talk him into training, which I feel horrible about, because I'd like him to go train and become a wrestler.
Because that's what the
school's there for, pretty much. But yeah, he wants to be a referee. So, and I don't mind that. See, when someone says, oh, like, you help, like, he wants to be like you, he wants to referee. I'm like, fair enough, because it helps with the boy's confidence. Like this is a shy guy, and he's getting to know me and Thomas and Simon helps with his confidence and helps him just get that wee bit more confident to go to training.
But yeah. I think the thing is as well, is that a lot of people, like what you said earlier, they know their own physical limits and they don't think they'd be able to do the role of a wrestler,
but they
want to get into the industry, and so it's, what would I want to do in the industry, if you know what I mean?
See, that's the thing. Like, I'm saying I know my own limits and stuff like that, but then Kid Fight was always on at me to, like, for 5 years, he was always like, debut this year. He wanted me to wrestle. And I was like, no, he thinks I could do it. But I was like, nah, I don't think I can.
Yeah.
But I might have been able to. I mean,
Brad Maddox did it. Who else? What other famous referees? What else?
Shane McMahon done it.
Shane Stevens.
Yep, he used to be a referee. Yeah.
Ronnie Garvin?
Ronnie
Garvin, I think, was Nunzio.
Nunzio done the opposite. Nunzio was a wrestler and then became a referee.
Is he now still a referee?
I don't know, but I know he was refereeing for WWE about 5-6 years ago.
See, here's a bit of booking for you, Mark Dallas's. Listen, imagine, right?
He won't be listening. He knows that I'm on it. He won't be listening.
But imagine, right? Some sort of faction, right? We do the NWO third man kind of gimmick, right? Who's the third man? And there's some sort of tag team. You're refereeing it. You go for the big finish. One, two, but then you pause on the three, and then you pull up off the ref shirt, and there's some sort of faction t-shirt underneath it.
Could you not be a faction that of referees and just have all the refs just turn on the wrestlers for a day?
That would be amazing.
Degeneration ref.
See, you have thought about this.
Well, I said, we're booking this.
There's
for
a
you.
T-shirt for you.
Degeneration ref. Brilliant. Listen, thanks very much for coming in, Sean. Have you got a favourite referee? Because, you know, you ask, is there a referee out there? You go, that's my favourite referee.
Yeah, me.
Yeah.
Thomas. Thomas is my favourite.
Thomas
Cairns.
I guess it had to be Thomas, really. One final question. Did you get to keep your WWE ref shirt?
Yes, I've got.
Yes!
I've got three of them.
Nice. Listen, thanks for coming in. It's given us a real. I love that. It gives a real insight into
not
the world
at all.
Of the referee.
Not at all.
When are you next on? Where can we see you next?
Friday. So tomorrow, Hold on, let me get my phone out first because I've got details of everything, so people
got
can
details,
so
right.
people can buy.
Gotta let
tickets.
The man sell. Gotta let
so
the
people
man
can
sell.
Buy tickets. Where are we? PWI tomorrow. At Lark Hall Community Centre. First bell's 6:30. There's only 15 front row tickets left, and they're £15 each, and they will sell out. Craiger always sells out, man.
Brilliant.
And then Sunday I'm at Fierce Females. That's at the Shed in Glasgow. Early entry is 6 o'clock. Main doors are 6:30, and the show starts at 7. You can get your tickets at fiercefemales.co.uk.
Brilliant. Get the plugs in there.
And hit the mic while you're
Sean, thanks very much.
Thank you very much,
nice
guys.
It's
been a pleasure. Thank you.
So that's it. Hopefully you made it to the end of the podcast without Rab and Grado. Like I say, they'll be back in a few weeks' time, and it'll be myself and Alex holding the fort, guiding the wrestling daft ship through the rocky waters for the next couple of weeks. So we'll hopefully have more guests. And listen, we'd love you to be on the show as well. We'd love to have a guest mark on the show. So if you want to come on and join the party, please get involved. Hit us up on Twitter at Wrestling Daft or on Facebook. We'll put out a message. We'd love to have you as a guest mark on the show next week because it is your show. There you go. We've got to award our listener of the week. However, we've got to put the strap on someone else. Hazy had it last week, and I think there can only be one winner this
week. Yeah, there's got to be no debate here. There's only one.
El Russo Malo, you have won the belt for the fact that you bought your wife the 24/7 belt for her Christmas, and you bought your son a referee shirt so he can ref the matches.
So he's now a double champion. Well
that
done, sir.
That is the biggest mark out I have heard ever. So congratulations, you will get the belt on your waist. We'll be back with more Wrestling Daft next week. Until then, enjoy the Royal Rumble, and we'll just have to do Guerrero's catchphrase for him since he's not here.
After you, John.
It's yourself.
And quintessential goodbye.
This is 4 Network.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.